Hi, this is Skip Mancini. Crispy days and cool nights make fall one of the busiest times of the year. I hope you can take a quick break from gardening chores and join me now for Growing on the High Plains.
Some people think of autumn on the High Plains as damp and drab, filled with gray days that signify the end of sunny cheer and the beginning of winter drear. In my mind's eye, nothing could be farther from the truth. Fall in my neck of the prairie is filled with subtle colors and textures that can brighten my outlook considerably. A walk around my shelter belt shows me the bright yellows of honey locust trees, mixed with silver gray of Russian olive leaves and berries. My smoke bushes add purple and burgundy to the mix. An occasional splash of orange from a fruit tree or the bank of bright orange low-growing sumac serves as accent to the carpet of tawny gold that's the winter fashion for my buffalo grass lawn. A careful inspection of the weed rows that edge our place and provide winter cover for pheasant and quail brings forth muted shades of brown, yellow, orange, and purple as the kochia, Russian thistle, and other tumbling weeds make a last stand before pulling up stakes and traveling across the plains. Over the years, I've tried to supplement our understated fall colors with a few touches of red foliage, but reds are rare out here. They're also sometimes harder to come by, as I've learned through a couple of errors in judgment. I planted 3 autumn blaze maples several years ago and have regretted it ever since. Because of our dry and alkaline soil, they demand lots of water and a constant supply of iron just to keep them from dying a slow and ugly death. And when the leaves do turn from green to red, the wind takes them within a single day. I also planted a clumping hawthorn that gives me great red-orange leaves and berries in the fall, but it's a player in the cedar-apple rust cycle, and since our shelter belt is largely made up of cedars, I've watched the hawthorn struggle to become more than a moderately successful shrub. Planting these trees was a good lesson for me in learning what is native and what is nearly impossible to grow on our flatland paradise. I do, however, have a few red-leafed successes to fall back on, and they're very hardy in the heartland. They're shrubs, not trees, but any colorful port in a storm of beige is welcome. Japanese barberry sports red foliage spring through fall, and some forms are compact enough to be used as an edging plant, while others can grow 6 feet high. Planted in front of larger evergreens, the red really jumps out. Be forewarned that barberry has thorny stems, which might be an advantage for a security hedge, but a disadvantage along a walkway. A dwarf euonymus, commonly called burning bush, reliably gives me eye-popping scarlet every October. For best color, be sure you plant it in full sun, in a place where it can grow to its ultimate undwarfish size of about 10 feet. The brightest color is produced on untrimmed shrubs, so give it room to grow. This year, a large viburnum, planted in memory of a much-loved member of our pet family, has burst forth with a promise of years of deep red remembrance. Here's one last word on sources of red autumn foliage. Although not a tree or a shrub, the sedum, titled Autumn Joy, provides a wonderful and long-lasting rusty red color to any fall flower bed. The flower clumps form in August and turn from pink to deeper red through the fall, and after a hard freeze, the giant seed heads look great in dried arrangements or as texture in your garden to get you through the winter blahs.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.